First, protesters came to the state capitol today to demonstrate against Governor Tony Evers' extension of safer at home orders that keep some non-essential businesses closed, many of them, and advise people to stay at home during the COVID-19 outbreak. This is the latest in a series of demonstrations in several states demanding an easing of social and economic restrictions. In general, public opinion polls show majority support for stay-at-home measures so far. According to an NBC News Wall Street Journal poll, nearly 60% of Americans are concerned the government will ease restrictions too early. Another poll from Politico in mid-April puts that percentage higher at 81%. Our next guest joins us to talk about public opinion when it comes to stay-at-home rules and how COVID-19 became political. Mike Wagner is a professor and Lewis A. Meyer Faculty Development Fellow in the University of Wisconsin-Madison School of Journalism and Mass Communication. Mike, welcome back to the show.
It's good to be here.
Mike, are you at all surprised that given our partisan divide in the country, that there's been a strong political element to our reaction to COVID-19?
Well, I think that given how polarized the country and the state are, it's not surprising that there's a bit of a partisan divide. But to me, I think the real story is that most Republicans agree with virtually all Democrats that people should be staying at home, that the state's response to the pandemic has been an appropriate one, and that these are the measures that the public, both Republican and Democratic majorities, strong majorities, think that the state should be undertaking.
Right. There's been unusual agreement, as you say, in polling. Why do you think that is?
Well, usually when there's a major national crisis, there is a rally effect that scholars often call rally round the flag. So people tend to prioritize a national or statewide identity. We often see that result in an increase in the approval rating for our leaders. We have seen that at the state level. Republican approval of Governor Evers has doubled from where it was from the previous Marquette Law School poll to the one that was released in early April, from about 20% to 39%. And we've seen not the same thing happen for President Trump. He's such a polarizing figure, and his messaging has been a little all over the place about the virus. And so he hasn't had the same bump that statewide leaders have had. But by and large, when there's a crisis, people tend to rally together, at least in the short term. And the question is how long that sustained unanimity will last. And, you know, things like the demonstration at the Capitol today is a sign that there's some fraying in that unanimity already taking place.
Yeah, let's talk about the protests, as you mentioned, today at the state capitol here. We've seen others often at state capitals around the country, some in other communities around the state. A lot of media coverage of them. How much weight do you put on these protests right now as, maybe a sign of potential growth in opposition to these policies?
I don't think it's a sign that there's a growth in opposition. A group of researchers that I was leading was in the field this week conducting a public opinion poll around the country, and we learned that over 95% of the people we surveyed said that they were engaged in some form of social distancing, and a vast majority of those, regardless of party, thought that they should continue to do so. And so I don't know that there's a big fraying. I would say in Wisconsin, the best data we have specific to our state is that about 13% of Republicans thought the government's reaction to the pandemic was an overreaction. And so I think we can confidently say a little more than 1 in 10 Republicans are being represented in some way or another by the views shared by some of the people at the demonstration today. One thing that the demonstration could do is start to signal to people who aren't sure what they think about the pandemic and social distancing guidelines, or who are just getting increasingly anxious about their own bottom line, businesses that are important to them. Folks like that might start to waver in their support of government distancing restrictions as there's more evidence reported that some people, namely those demonstrators today, don't agree with those restrictions.
Now, as with any demonstration organized by anyone, there are different people showing up with different messages. But a core message that I think organizers in particular are trying to stress is the economic impact of these shutdowns on workers who are laid off or furloughed, on small business owners who are shut down right now. And I think there's some concern for that across the political spectrum, whether it's blaming the shutdowns themselves, or some people have worried about the federal government reaction, you know, helping larger businesses, but maybe not these little guys. Is there something there we should be paying attention to, the idea that there are people being hurt economically and that people in power aren't necessarily paying enough attention to that?
Absolutely. There's more than one thing happening at a time right now. The first and most important thing is the collective health of the country, and that's where the distancing guidelines are coming from. But of course, the economic issues are absolutely crucial as well. I mean, we're looking at what's being forecasted as pretty significant negative economic growth over the next bit of time. We could have over 20 to 25 million Americans unemployed by the official unemployment measure, which would just be an enormous increase over where we were a month ago. And so there are absolutely real economic concerns being felt by virtually everyone. And those who've been furloughed or laid off are especially feeling those. And they're doing so in this environment where they're being told the best thing to do for the collective health of the country is to stay at home. And they're wondering, quite sensibly, how do we pay for our lives? How do we keep our family fed? How do we keep people safe? And these two things aren't necessarily it's not obvious how those two concerns about health and economic security flow together. And that's where we're starting to see, I think, some frays in the unanimity of purpose that we saw more of in the initial response to the pandemic and the distancing guidelines.
We're talking about protest and public opinion during the current pandemic. Mike Wagner is with us, professor in the UW-Madison School of Journalism and Mass Communication. Mike, I know one of the things you pay attention to in normal times, we can throw quotes around normal if you want, is, you know, where different groups of people get their news and information from, whether that's different by where they live, by their partisan affiliation, that kind of thing. Are you watching to see what's happening with where we're getting our information about this disease from?
We are. One of the things we were looking at in the survey we just finished fielding today was where people get their information, but also what kind of environment do they live in? Do they live in a county that has zero newspapers, one newspaper, or more than one? And we're finding, you know, some evidence that even just living in a place where there's less information available, when we kind of combine that fact with who people talk to about politics and whether they listen to opinion talk radio, news talk radio, watch national news sources, all those things kind of move together to help us understand who supports social distancing, who supports the president's response to the pandemic, who trusts the CDC and the WHO for information about the pandemic. There are real partisan differences that I think are kind of flowing through where people get their information, and all of that is nested in the communities in which people live in the first place.
So what are you watching for as this goes on, Mike? I know we'll be watching for your survey results, for example, and others coming out. What kind of things are you watching for to see, you know, how people feel about these safer at home orders as they extend from one week into another?
One other thing we've been investigating in this research is, what do people believe about the COVID-19 virus? And is that are those beliefs accurate? So we asked a wide variety of knowledge questions about how you might get the virus, how many people in your own county have been affected, how many in your own county and state are dying, what do we know about the validity of a bunch of different rumors of treatments that are floating around the internet and other kinds of places. And so we're going to be looking to see who believes things that aren't true, and are the people who are believing things that aren't true the ones who say we need to open up right now, as compared to follow the health experts who are telling us we need to wait longer to make sure that the collective health of the country is something that we exit the pandemic with.
I want to bring on a caller real quick. Tom is on the line in Port Wing, or from Port Wing. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Bob. I just think your guest is a little bit out of touch with the reality. This is not a COVID issue, and it's not an issue of being well-informed or ill-informed. It's a matter of bread and butter. This is a bread and butter issue. It's work. It's the lifeblood of the individual and the individual family.
Tom, thanks for the call. So he's saying the protest there, it's not about COVID. It's about our the way we make a living here.
Well, that's just what I was saying a few seconds ago. There are two huge tensions happening now. One, the public health risk that we're all facing with the pandemic, and two, the huge economic risk that we're all facing. And as I mentioned, those two things for a great many of us are in conflict. And that's, I think, why we're seeing some of the fraying of the support among some for the social distancing guidelines.
What do you make, Mike, of the communication we're seeing from government at the state and federal level in our last couple of minutes?
Well, I think at the state level, we're seeing we're seeing a little bit of partisan discord, right? The Republicans in the state legislature want to have more of a say in what the social distancing rules and regulations are in the state. And so they're contesting Governor Evers' executive order to the Wisconsin Supreme Court so that they can have more of a say in that discussion. Governor Evers has been relatively steady on wanting to follow the science, but is also made changes, relatively rapidly and sometimes without informing key players about what those changes are going to be, which often happens in fluid situations. At the national level, the communication has been much more disparate. President Trump has said that the virus, isn't anything to worry about, would be gone by April. He's also said that it's terrible and very dangerous and that we should be staying at home. And then he also tweeted that we should be liberating various states, which many took to mean that people should do the kind of protesting that we saw today in Wisconsin. And so it's been a mixed bag that I think is sowing confusion amongst people about what their risk really is to the virus.
Mike, thanks a lot for joining us again today.
My pleasure.
We've been talking to Mike Wagner, professor and Lewis A. Meyer Faculty Development Fellow in the University of Wisconsin-Madison School of Journalism and Mass Communication. He joined us on the show today to talk about public support for stay-at-home orders, what public opinion polling is showing, and protests surrounding the measures, including one here in Wisconsin today, others at state capitals around the country. You can follow the Wisconsin Public Radio News team reporting on these issues, including today's demonstration at the Capitol. You can do that at WPR.org/news. And you can follow for quick and timely updates over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll post a lot of our news stories up there about the developments politically and research-wise when it comes to COVID-19.